Welcome this morning to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her, and it is good to be with you this morning. Each of you who is joining us is so welcome with us. You are welcome no matter who you love or the color of your skin. You are welcome if you are sitting alone or you're trying your hardest to pay attention in the midst of activity. You are welcome if you are in the middle of a joyful life story or a sad one or a confusing one. You're welcome, no matter who you are and how you are. If this is one of your first times joining us, and you want to know more about how to engage with our community while we are online, you can write to our administrator and get on our email list. Her email is at the end of this service, and it is on our website. For everyone who received an email in your email this morning, you also have a link to Coffee Hour. And Coffee Hour is the time where we share what's on our hearts, we talk about the service, we do joys and sorrows, and it's a really good time to catch up with people you haven't seen in a long time if you haven't been there for a while. And we would love to be with you. Our chalice lighting this morning is from the Reverend David Dr. Our chalice lighting this morning is from the Reverend Dr. David Vreeden. We tender this flame, opening the book, turning to a page yet to be written, opening a story yet to be told. May we fill this fresh page wisely. May we write a new story into being. May we together inscribe the page with hope. Please join me in saying our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. And we will now hear the UUA General Assembly 2020 Virtual Choir. Feel free to sing along.
For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings, and we are the breath of our ancestors. We are the spirit of God. We are mothers of courage, fathers of time, daughters of dust, and the sons of great visions. We're sisters of mercy, brothers of love, lovers of life, and the builders of nations. We're seekers of truth, keepers of faith, makers of peace, and the wisdom of ages. We are our grandmother's prayers. We are our grandfather's dreamings, and we are the breath of our ancestors. We are the spirit of God. We are mothers of courage, fathers of time, daughters of dust, and the sons of great visions. We're sisters of mercy, brothers of love, lovers of life, and the builders of nations. We're
makers of truth and keepers of faith. We are makers of peace and the wisdom of ages. We are our grandmother's prayers. We are our grandfather's dreamings, and we are the breath of our ancestors. We are the spirit of God. We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the spirit of God. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. We are
This is a quote from David Loy. We do not experience a world and afterward make up stories to understand it. Stories teach us what is real, what is true, and what is possible. They are not abstractions from life, though they can be that. They are necessary for our engagement with life. As the Scottish philosopher Alasdair MacIntyre puts it, I can only answer the question, what am I to do? If I can answer this question, of what story or stories do I find myself a part?
I have been thinking a lot about stories. First, because the story is our theme this month. And second, because my life seems immersed in stories, even more than usual. Lately, my daughter and I have had so many stories going in so many mediums that I can get confused as we shift from one fictional universe to another. We just finished listening to the Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins and then watched all four movies. This is a future dystopia where children are sent to fight to the death once a year as penance for a rebellion, with themes of friendship, loyalty, trauma, and evil. At the same time we were listening to those books, we started watching the Dark Materials fantasy series on HBO based on Philip Pullman's trilogy, which we've read several times. It's set in alternative worlds, and it's about the fight between religious control and consciousness. Then before we finished the Hunger Games movies, we started to listen to the Harry Potter books again, which are about a wizarding world and the fight between love and evil. After the Hunger Games movies, we started watching the Harry Potter movies while reading out loud one of the newer companion books of Pullman's Dark Material series. Confusing? Yes. Sometimes I am simply overwhelmed by characters, their worlds, and their conflicts. Which story am I in? What is going on? Every day, most of us are immersed in stories, in books, news, television, movies, and our lives. As we read and listen and watch stories, we explore and learn the ways people manage this journey of being human. Story is the human medium of understanding. We evolved to understand through stories. This might seem counterintuitive to many of us who were schooled in an educational system that chooses to educate people through the telling of facts, disconnected from story, as if that information is more reliable or true than something that has the emotional resonance of story. My daughter, we are still schooling this way, if you haven't been in the system in a while. My daughter studied early American history and the American Revolution last year in the fifth grade. Last spring, when we first started at-home schooling, I sat with her while we watched videos about American battles and negotiations with the English government. She had to answer questions like, what were the three reasons the colonists wanted to separate from England, and why was the Battle of Yorktown pivotal in the war effort? The interest level was close to zero, and even I, who like history a lot, would lose track of the details and get bored. Then on July 4th, the musical Hamilton was released on Disney+. That was a story. My daughter knows every word to that musical, which I've mentioned many times. Still gets sung in my house all the time. And as she wanted to understand more about the characters and the events and sometimes a particular line of one song, she became fascinated by the American Revolution and what came after. Reread other children's books set during the Revolution, including one trilogy told from the perspective of enslaved children. We've studied spy rings and mapped the Battle of Yorktown, all to better understand the story of Hamilton. The list of reasons colonists want to separate from England is utterly forgettable, but listen as four new friends share their reason for the fight and watch them make sacrifices for it. That is something else entirely. Stories are how people pass on culture and wisdom. They are how we make meaning. If someone is telling us a story, our brain waves begin to synchronize with the storytellers. As we listen, we emit oxytocin, the love hormone, the one that allows us to feel empathy. We connect deeply with the characters and with the people who tell us the stories. We are all layered and immersed in stories. Maybe your story life is not overtly confusing as mine has been recently, but we all hold so many stories in us with characters and plots and meanings, and they influence and affect how we engage with the world. They are the stories that we tell about the world, our communal life, and the stories we tell about ourselves and our families. A fundamental way that culture is transmitted to us is in story and myths. They tell us what is important. When I was in child in school learning the Greek myths, I was taught the myths were stories ancient people used to explain natural phenomena before we had science. So early, perhaps in the third grade, my teachers were telling me a story about stories. They were telling me that stories didn't really tell the truth. That was what science did. I believed them, of course. But what they taught me was completely untrue. Creation stories, the stories of gods and goddesses and of heroes, tell the people within the culture what matters about being human. The creation story at the beginning of Genesis has a God that brings the world into being gently through word and makes humankind and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all of the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. This is a pretty different story than the Babylonian creation story that had their deity Marduk murdering the mother goddess and creating the world out of her dead body. Or a common Native American creation story that has animals and humans collaborating to create the world. These stories tell people how the world is. It is a place to be used by humankind, or a place where the feminine and all other gods must be held down at great cost. Or it is a place of cooperation among all beings. The stories a culture tells over and over, as David Loy in this morning's reading said, teach us what is real, what is true, and what is possible. Our culture has stories that explain how the world works. Many, many of us learn those myths as we learn the sounds of our language. Some are taught and ritually lived. Most of us learned in school that Europe discovered the New World. The people who lived here were neatly pushed out of almost all of those narratives. We celebrated Columbus who sailed the ocean blue. We learned about pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving. In this story, the native peoples were saviors. In that story, the Thanksgiving story, they save the pilgrims and then they magically disappear, leaving this blank new land for Europeans. For 150 years, Americans acted out this story ritually in school and at Thanksgiving dinner. I remember making turkeys that had all the feathers on them, and we would make costumes that looked like the original pilgrims. And it was all innocent and happiness. Teaching us, in the fundamental underlying story, teaching us that in the deepest crises, Americans persevere and will be given what they need to carry out their dreams. In the case of the very earliest settlers, this was the most wonderful country in the world, with freedom for all, which is a story that we still tell. The truth about what happened was an uneasy peace between the people who lived here and the people who came to take their land. The truth was colonization and genocide. Dominant American culture has other stories. This is an old favorite among the middle class. A good life is to go to story, find work you like, make money, marry someone you love, have a family, and retire. Stories of those who have lived such a life are held up for us to look at with admiration. And then we tell stories about when people fall off this trajectory. Many of our stories are about how that narrative isn't working out and people are realigning themselves with that. The show This Is Us could be read as a commentary on that story and how difficult it is to live it out as different kinds of people. But the story itself, that is normal and desired, that it is the normal and desired trajectory of life, is never questioned. Our dominant cultural story is not, you will grow up and live in your community and take care of the land and the people there. The story is not, you will grow up and study what your family tells you to, and marry who your family tells you to, and always live close to your family and take care of them. The story is not, you are good, you are beloved, you belong, you have gifts to give the world, we will help you give them. These could have been the stories we were told about what it means to live and be human and have a successful life. In some cultures and families within our culture, these are the stories that are told about what it means to be human and live well. When I worked at the university, the director of the program for first-generation students struggled to convince many of her students to stop living their cultural story that they needed to stay home and be close to their families, and start living a story of individual happiness and career satisfaction. Only if she did this, help them rewrite what the story of success was, could she convince them to pursue postgraduate work. The musical Hamilton is not only the story of Alexander Hamilton's life. The musical is also about stories. Who tells the stories? The characters often ask. Who is in the narrative and who is out of it? What stories get told? In this morning's musical piece, Eliza begs Hamilton to remove himself from the national story and just be her husband and the father to their child. And he refused. And while Hamilton was critical in the creation of the United States, he was, in fact, George Washington's right-hand man and started our economic system, his story didn't get told for the last two centuries very often. He wasn't even mentioned in my daughter's fifth grade history class. He wasn't a well-liked person. He'd made a lot of enemies. Last week in our service, Jean Trigstad referred to the Western story that nature is dead and human beings have the right and ability to conquer and take and use the earth however we wish to. This story's ancestry goes back to the Judeo-Christian creation story that gives humans dominion over the earth. The idea that nature is dead is so entrenched in most of us that stories that give consciousness or moral standing to plants and animals often feel infantile to us. They are for children or from other cultures that did not understand the true scientific nature of trees or lizards, we think. We live in a moment when there are so many stories. Television channels and library shelves and internet sites are filled with millions and millions of stories. There are the stories we tell ourselves and each other that add to that collection of stories. It's like we live in a hurricane of stories. In the last 2 months, I have felt dizzy with all the fictional universes I have interacted with every day. But the truth is, this whirlwind of stories is true for most of us every day. It's not just our information society. It's that after centuries of being silenced, those who have been oppressed by Western colonization are speaking, and they're being heard. Those with different cultural stories are telling them, offering counter narratives to dominant Western culture. As climate change and environmental destruction threaten human civilization, suddenly the stories of dominance and nature as dead have been called into question. Last week, Brad Hewitt reflected on the book Overstory, based on new evidence that shows that trees sense their environment and communicate, and imagines human-tree interaction. Felicity Scholder told a story about beavers and how, as the glaciers melt, they have moved north, using their drive to dam flowing water to hold nutrient-rich soils on the land instead of letting them be flushed out to sea by the glacial melt. This story is outside of our paradigm of a dead nature. It's not how mechanical things work. What is it that is telling the beavers to move north? Why are they doing this? It's outside of our understanding of how the world works and the stories that we tell ourselves about nature. The old mythical stories that created the United States, allowing for colonization of peoples and the earth, are breaking apart. This time of the changing stories can feel chaotic and confusing, but also wondrous and surprising. There are so many ways to be human and live on the earth. We don't have to live those old stories anymore. We can live new stories. Carl Jung once said, "The most important question anyone can ask is, what myth am I living?" In this time of wondrous, conflicting, scary, beautiful stories, we can find the stories that work in this new time. These can be stories for the earth, for the people of the world, our country, our congregation, and ourselves. We're at a time in history when we can choose our founding myths. We can choose the stories to live by. In my story, the universe and life were drawn into being by love. Everyone is precious. All life is beloved. We are asked, what are your gifts? And how will you help your community flourish? Love, friendship, and consciousness can always take on evil and win. What is your story? Let us share with each other stories of blessing. Let it be a dance.
Let a dancing song be heard. dark there is no light. If nothing's wrong, then nothing's right. Let it be a dance, let it be a dance, let it be a dance. Let the sunshine, let it rain. Share the laughter, bear the pain. And round and round we go again.
These words are from the Reverend Sherry Woodbury. May we have the courage to speak or write the stories within us that need to be told, the stories that make up our lives. May we listen with a loving mind and heart to the stories of other lives, others here in this church, and others in our wider community and world. Let us choose with care the stories that we teach to our children, remembering that all of our stories have power and that all of our stories are connected, for all of life is one. In the name of all that is sacred in these gathered hearts, may it be so. Amen. We extinguish our chalice knowing the flame of Unitarian Universalism is alive in our hearts and spirits, and so shall continue to light up the world.